Heroes of the Merchant Marine. Heroes of the Merchant Marine. The thrilling true stories of men who are heroes aboard ship. A program salute to the men who serve and live for their country by sailing the world's seaways to deliver to our troops and allies the vital supplies of a victorious new world. Heroes of the Merchant Marine is a series of programs dedicated to America's brave merchant seamen, the everyday common men who are heroes every day they sail the pathways of the world. These are true stories narrated by Ray Lewis and transcribed from the confidential files of the War Shipping Administration. Is the story of Walter Lee, second mate.
All right, Bud, I've seen storms before in my life.
I can't hear you.
I say I've seen storms in my life. Never one like this.
This isn't a storm. It's a hurricane. Watch out.
Hey! Almost got washed overboard.
Hold on to that railing. A storm like this, it'll just pick you up like a feather. Toss you overboard as easily as you can flip a penny.
Yeah, I won't let go. Hey, watch out! Here comes our roller! Biggest hunk of water I've ever seen.
And plenty more where that came from. Don't let go of that railing.
That wind keeps trying to...
I can't hear you.
I say the wind keeps trying to chuck me overboard.
Well, just hold on. Here we go again. Watch out!
About that fellow named Walt, there at the railing of a merchant ship during a shattering gale one night during the war. His name is Walter J. Lee, and he's a second mate in the United States Merchant Marine. Comes from Oswego, New York, little town that's typical of thousands of American small towns. It's a county seat, complete with big corner drugstore where the kids gather every Saturday night, and particularly where young Walt Lee used to spend most of his afternoons and nights listening to the druggist, old Sam Winters, who used to be a sea dog before his leg got him, and he settled down to being a druggist in Oswego. Sam used to get a kick out of enlarging his tales of the sea for Walt, who would sit at the soda fountain drinking in those fabulous stories and a strawberry soda with equal gusto.
Yes, sir, my boy. That was the biggest storm I ever did see. That howling wind just came right along and picked up our big old clipper ship and just lifted it off into the air. But boy, we just sailed right along through the air. There'll be a thunderbolt come right into this drugstore and take me to my maker if I'm prefabricating. So help me, that storm there just carried us through the air and over that wild sea for 33 miles it did. 33 miles sailing through the air, and the wind howling like demons themselves. That was a storm, my boy. They don't have storms like that nowadays. Here, have another scoop of ice cream. It'll do you good.
And Walt thrived on both the ice cream sodas and those super glamorized tales of Sam in the drugstore. When he grew older, he learned to recognize the truth a little better. But the sea and the love of the sea were already in his bones. And besides, those stories of Sam's might be true. So he went to sea when he was 17. 28 years on the sea followed. 28 years of good ships and bad ships. Of American ports and British, Hawaiian, French, Australian, and African ports of all kinds. 28 years of knowing the sea, loving the sea. 28 years of hard winds and calm seas and rough water and smooth sailing. 28 years of home on the sea. He had only been to sea 3 years when the First World War broke out. And crossing the Atlantic, back and forth on our perilous seaways, he learned that being in the merchant marine is a vital, perilous, and thrilling business. And then, when the long, hard job was finished, Walt decided he wanted to see some more of this world he had helped make safe for democracy. He sailed Asiatic waters, learning the glamorous and intriguing ways of Shanghai, learning how to eat at a luau in Hawaii, learning that it's true what they say about Bali, and finding a soft spot in his heart for Singapore. But Walt was learning a lesson that too many important men in important places didn't realize. He had found in his 28 years of sailing that it was one world, but not enough important people knew that yet. They thought that freedom, like countries, had boundaries. But they and the world soon discovered their mistake. And when war was declared, Walter Lee, now second mate on the cargo ship Independence Hall, set out once more to do the work of war. They were near Sable Island, Nova Scotia. The weather was heavy and threatening to get much worse. The SS Independence Hall was being battered by tremendous waves that shoved the large ship around as if she were a lifeboat. The high wind barraged the ship with a heavy artillery of sharp, icy rain, and it was getting worse all the time. Walt Lee and a seaman were on deck near the stern, holding on to the rail for all they were worth.
You know, this storm reminds me of a fella named Sam back home.
What? Can't hear you.
I said... Oh, Skip, I've seen storms in my life.
Can't hear you.
I say I've seen storms in my life. Never one like this.
This isn't a storm. It's a hurricane. Watch out.
Hey, I almost got washed overboard.
Hold on to that railing. It's all my pistol to pick you up like a feather and toss you overboard as easily as you can flip a penny.
Yeah, I won't let go. Watch out. Here comes a roller. Biggest hunk of water I've ever seen.
And plenty more where that came from. Don't let go of that railing.
That wind keeps trying
to... hear you.
I say the wind keeps trying to chuck me overboard.
Just hold on. Here we go again. Watch it.
Whoa. Whoa. You think the ship could take it?
I don't know. I don't know, but I'm praying.
Hold on. Here's another...
I'm worried about the ship. He's taking a terrible beating. I don't know if any ship can take this very long.
Whoa, what's that noise? What is it?
It's creaking.
You think we're gonna...
Don't think anything. Just hold on to the rail.
We're broken in half. The hull split in two. Walt, the hull split in two.
Right in two. The Independence Hall broke in half, shattered by the beating, pounding, gigantic waves. The men on the stern half of the ship stood motionless on deck, watching half of their ship being carried swiftly toward the rocky beach. They stood on the deck, made speechless by the sight of the forward half of the ship, with most of their crew and officers being carried by the heavy wind and terrific seas toward the rocks about a quarter mile from them. Awestruck by the horrible sight, they didn't notice their half of the ship listing and heaving in the rough waters. The lost half of the Independence Hall disappeared behind a curtain of rain. Second Mate Walter Lee looked about him, saw the pitiful condition of his half of a ship, saw the pale, horror-lined faces of his crew, and leaped to what was left of the bridge. There he discovered he was the highest-ranking officer left. He had to take charge and save his weaving, lurching half-ship. Mr. Edwards, how are the engines making out?
We're in pretty bad shape. I think we can manage for a little while anyway, Mr. Lee.
Then hold on a quarter speed ahead. Maybe that'll keep us afloat. Patterson, how about the fire room?
We can last a couple of hours if we're lucky. Nobody hurt down here.
Good. Edwards, it's working. We're not rolling as much. Keep it up, quarter speed ahead. We may stay afloat if the storm tones down a little.
Sweat was streaming down Walter Lee's forehead, but his voice was steady. Every life on that half-ship was in his hands, and he knew it. He was determined to save his men and the remnants of his ship. After a few minutes, he left the bridge to supervise the rigging of a jury antenna. Every man in the crew pitched in, and in the midst of that furious storm, the antenna was rigged, and SOS signals were being sent out by what was left of the radio set in a matter of minutes. Meanwhile, the ship had begun to list again, and Lee raced back to the bridge. Mr. Edwards, quarter speed, left half rudder.
Quarter speed, half left rudder.
Somehow, by luck and patience and 28 years worth of life on the sea, Second Mate Walter Lee cheated the sea out of his half of a ship. A battered stern still listed and was being still toyed with by the wind, but it stayed afloat. And the engine room and the fire room and what was left in them still worked.
Mr. Edwards, they're still listing. Make it half speed ahead.
And the stern half of the Independence Hall did stay afloat. Walter Lee had cheated the sea and wind and battering waves. He had kept his half of a ship afloat, afloat and sailing until...
I see him, Bosun. I see him.
Two British men of war. Two British cruisers answering Lee's desperate SOS. Two British men of war coming swiftly and efficiently toward the beleaguered half of the Independence Hall. Two huge gray hulls, the end of a nightmare, and a gallant example of heroism. For his action that night, Second Mate Walter J. Lee was awarded the Merchant Marine Distinguished Service Medal from the President of the United States with a citation that began...
For especially meritorious service under unusual demands and hazards.
Then the citation told the story of those terrible long hours of distress, the story which you have just heard, and it ends by saying...
Throughout this long period, Lee was faced with responsibilities far greater than he had previously experienced. He met each crisis with cool and calm efficiency and contributed in large measure to the successful rescue of the 37 survivors. His extraordinary achievement and exemplary leadership will be an enduring inspiration to seamen of the United States Merchant Marine everywhere.
Walter J. Lee, second mate, was one in a series of Heroes of the Merchant Marine. Program salutes to our brave merchant seamen as transcribed from the confidential files of the War Shipping Administration.